Good evening. This is Patrick Donahue. As always, we appreciate you listening. This program is designed to stimulate Bible study on everybody's part, because we know from passages like John 8:32, ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. We know then that only the truth will make us free from sin. The way to find out the truth is to read and study God's Word and not accept what any man says, not take their word for it, not even mine. Make sure that what you're being taught, that the person teaching can put their finger on a book, chapter, and verse to prove what they're saying. Now, 2 weeks ago on Bible Crossfire, Jamie from Pensacola, Florida, called in with an outstanding question. His question was, why are there so many interpretations of the Bible? I think that's an outstanding question. For one reason, we're told by many that the reason there's so many interpretations of the Bible is because the Bible is hard to understand. But I challenge that notion, and that's what tonight's program is all about. I would ask you to consider the fact that there are many other influences that cause false interpretations of the Bible, and 9 times out of 10, it doesn't have anything to do with the Bible being hard to understand. The Bible is easy to understand in most places, but it's other factors that lead to that. When Jamie made the call, I immediately read to him 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 34 and 35, which reads, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. I asked Jamie why so many congregations allow women to preach from the pulpit. Now, is it because this passage, which we just read, this passage which forbids it is hard to understand? And of course, Jamie answered with the obvious, no, the passage is very clear. You see what I'm saying? Most churches, if you were just drive down the road and anywhere in America, most of the congregations, church buildings, housing them, that you drive by would allow women to preach from the pulpit. There's obviously at least two different interpretations here. Some churches allow women to preach, some don't. The minority don't. Is it because the Bible is hard to understand on this point? No. It says, let your women keep silence in the churches. It's not permitted unto them to speak. It's a shame for women to speak in the church. There's nothing hard to understand about that. It's easy to understand. We can understand the truth of the Bible if we just read and study it. Ephesians 3, 3 through 4 teaches this very thing. It reads, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore, in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So Paul is saying that the way we can understand the Bible is just by reading it, reading the revelation. This passage, 1 Corinthians 14, 34 and 35, illustrates the fact that the reason people come to false conclusions is not because the Bible's hard to understand. The Bible's very clear on this, that women should not preach from the pulpit, yet most churches allow it. They have other reasons that lead them in that direction. I suggest to you that in this case, it's influence from the world. Influence from the world. Churches, many churches, most churches, allow women to preach not because the Bible's prohibition against it is unclear, but because they feel pressure from the world, like from the Equal Rights Amendment movement or political correctness. You see my point? Another reason people interpret the Bible falsely is because they let another authority take precedence. Now I want you to notice the following quote from the Watchtower Witnesses. This is a pretty famous quote. Here's what they said. We find that people cannot see the divine plan in studying the Bible by itself. We see also that if anyone lays aside the, quote, scripture studies, that's the Watchtower magazines, even after he has read them for 10 years, if he then lays them aside and ignores them and goes to the Bible alone, our experience shows that within 2 years he goes into darkness. And they're talking about he quits being a faithful watchtower person. On the other hand, if he had merely read the scripture studies and had not read a page of the Bible, he would be in the light. So the watchtower folks believe their false positions, not because the Bible is hard to interpret on those questions, but because they position their literature above the Bible and what they're going to follow. In other words, they're just encouraging their members to study the scripture studies, and it's not so important to study the Bible. Matter of fact, they say if you study the Bible alone, you won't come to the right conclusions. See, they've got their, quote, scripture studies in a position of authority over the Bible, and I'm suggesting to you that that's another reason why people come to false conclusions, and it has nothing whatsoever to do with the Bible being hard. It's because they have other authorities that they put ahead of what the Bible says. Now, let me ask you this question. Do we sometimes do the same with preachers and churches? Do we sometimes accept what they say without making sure what they say matches up with what God's Word actually says? We need to be careful. If you have a Bible question or comment, please call us at 1-877-655-6755. You know, the Catholic Church does this exact thing by admittedly allowing their church tradition, that would be another authority besides the Bible, by allowing their church tradition to take precedence equal to or above Scripture. Let me give you a good illustration. I think all of us know about the Catholic Church tradition, the perpetual virginity of Mary. The Catholic Church says that Mary was a virgin for her whole life. That's what they say. But now, let me read to you Matthew 13:55-56. Here's how it reads. Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren, James, and Joses, and Simon, and Judas, and his sisters? Jesus had brothers and sisters. How was Mary a virgin her whole life if Jesus had brothers and sisters? Now, the Bible makes it clear that when Jesus was conceived, his mother, Mary, was a virgin. Jesus was born of a virgin, a miracle. And the Bible teaches that she remained a virgin until Jesus was born. But the Bible is clear that she was not a virgin after that because Jesus had brothers and sisters. Matthew 13:55-56. That's very simple. A first grader could understand that. Yet the Catholic Church holds on to this tradition of the perpetual virginity of Mary. Do you see how that the Catholic Church has a form of authority taking precedence over the Bible, and it leads them to wrong conclusions? They don't conclude that Mary was a virgin until she died based upon hard-to-understand passages in the Bible. No, the Bible is very clear that she was not. They do it because they let church tradition trump Scripture, have precedence over Scripture. You see that? The reason there are so many different interpretations, 99 times out of 100, has nothing to do with how hard the Bible is. It's usually easy to understand. It's because of these other factors that come into play. The lines are open if you would like to call in with your Bible question or comment. 1-877-655-6755. We welcome your call. You know, the Catholic Church claims Peter was the first pope, and of course we know the pope is not allowed to be married, but did you know the Bible says Peter had a mother-in-law in Matthew 8:14? How could Peter have a mother-in-law if he was unmarried? That's simple, isn't it? Why are there different interpretations? Sometimes because church tradition trumps what the Bible says. It's not a matter of the Bible being hard to understand. That's not it at all. Many times, ulterior motives come into play when people reason from the Scriptures. For example, John 12:42-43 reads, "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him," talking about Jesus, "but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Do you see how these chief rulers really understood the truth about Jesus, but ulterior motives kept them from accepting the truth? You know, they didn't want to be kicked out from their position in the synagogue. They loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. They understood the truth. It wasn't hard to understand, but they did not accept it and obey it because they had ulterior motives. They loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. They didn't want to lose their position in the synagogue. Now, many believers do that today. For example, on the issue of homosexuality and gay marriage. We have different opinions on that now. We didn't 100 years ago, but some religious people believe it's okay. Some, as myself, teach that it's wrong. Now, I'm going to read you a verse out of the Old Testament. I know the Old Testament's not binding you anymore, but I want to read this passage because it's so clear on this subject. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 13. It says, "If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination." Now, that's very clear. It's not hard to understand. Why do the gay church people not understand that? Is it because these verses are not clear? No, that's not it. I've read a number of tracts, Bible tracts, written by gay preachers in preparing to debate them, and they usually give their testimony. All the testimonies of gay church writers that I've ever read indicate they first had the desire to be a homosexual, and they struggled against it. Perhaps they were a member of a denomination that taught against it, rightly so. They were feeling guilty about their desire, their wanting to be a homosexual, but then suddenly they found the gay church and its teaching, and they discovered the Bible approved homosexuality all along. You see, they didn't really accept gay marriage because they honestly thought the Bible condoned it. No, they forced interpretations on the Bible in order to justify their pre-existing sexual perversion. You see, we have different interpretations. Some people say gay marriage is okay. Some people say the Bible condemns it. Is it because the Bible's hard to understand? No. The Bible's easy to understand. It's clearly against it. People don't accept what the Bible says against gay marriage because they have an ulterior motive. They want gay marriage to be okay because their sexual preference takes them in that direction. So they force interpretations of the Bible to try to justify what they already are doing. Sharon.
Yes.
Go ahead from Michigan. Go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yeah, I would like you to review the tithing of today. We're under the Messianic covenant now. That's true with being a follower of Christ. But are we to continue with the 10%? Do we put all of that in the storehouse as in local churches? Or do we have a more opportunity today to serve the Lord in different venues?
Sharon, we are under the New Covenant law, and it's the Old Covenant law that required the 10%. There are a number of passages, though, in the New Testament that address our giving. Let me read one of them. 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2 says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." And so we are still to give as we've been prospered, meaning the more we make, the more we should give. Most of the strong Christians I know give above, some far above 10%. Do you have any follow-up, Sharon?
No, that sounds pretty good. Now, with us being over-the-road truck drivers, we are not able to go to church just a few times through the year. So is our tithe supposed to be sent to our local church, or are we supposed to give in the lines of, like radio programs and different things in, like, just to help other people? How do we decide where that money goes after praying? And what is your take on that?
Yes, I think we're obligated to contribute to a local church. But I believe that we ought to fix our job situation, Sharon, so that we can attend a local church regularly. We appreciate your call. We're going to go to Mike from New Mexico. Mike, you're on the air. Go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Sure. Thank you. My question is about Daniel, chapter 10, where he was near the Tigris River, and he saw a man dressed in linen clothing with a belt of pure gold around his waist. And then on down in verse 20, this person is speaking to him, and he replied, "Do you know why I have come? Soon I must return to fight against the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia, and after that, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Greece will come. Meanwhile, I will tell you what is written in the book of truth. No one helps me against these spirit princes except Michael, your spirit prince." Is that something somewhat of a mystery, or is there an explanation for that? Or,
well, you know, Mike, I'm not real sure, but I know that Daniel talks about the kingdom of the Medes and Persians and talks about Greece. So I assume it's talking about this literal kingdom of Persia and the literal kingdom of Greece. The first kingdom, there are four kingdoms in the book. The first one was Babylon. The second, the Medes and Persians. And the third one is Greece. The fourth one is not identified by name, but we can tell by the sequence of things that it's the Roman Empire. Now, I'm not sure specifically what you're asking about Daniel 10, 20, and 21, but I assume this is talking about the literal physical kingdoms of the of Persia and of Greece. Do you have any other follow-up, Mike?
Well, my question was these words, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia, they're not capitalized, so I didn't know if I should take that as it says later that Michael is helping him fight, so I took it as spirit prince being not capitalized, that it wasn't a spirit of God, that it was Satan, and that what this man dressed in white linen was saying, that he and Michael, I assume, is an angel of God, and these spirit princes are something of Satan, but I wasn't sure how to understand that. And I know that these prophecies in Daniel are extremely difficult to, interpret. But that was my question. So thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Mike. It's going to be hard for me to answer that more specifically since my version doesn't say spirit prince of Persia. It just says prince of Persia, prince of Greece. If you have a Bible question or comment, please call us at 1-877-655-6755. And so what we're seeing tonight is why there's so many interpretations of the Bible. It's false to say it's because the Bible's hard to understand. We've been going through some other reasons why people don't interpret the Bible correctly, and it's on things that are very clear. Another reason why people interpret the Bible in a false way sometimes is because it interferes with how they want to live. I got a quote from Sir Julian Huxley. He's one of the world's leading evolutionists, and he's talking about why the evolutionists accept the origin of species, why they accept evolution as opposed to God being our creator. He says, "I suppose the reason we leaped at the origin of species was because the idea of God interfered with our sexual mores." Meaning, mores meaning customs, conventions, or practices. In other words, if they accepted that God was the creator, then they understood then they would have a responsibility toward God, and that would interfere with their sexual freedom to do what they wanted to do. And so it wasn't, they didn't understand, they didn't reject God because it was hard to understand that God was the creator or that the Bible was hard to understand. They rejected it because it would interfere with their sexual lifestyle, and they didn't want that, and so then they rejected God. You know, many people who are believers do that today. We have a passage, one of a number of them that teach this, Matthew 19:9, "And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery." Very simple, very clear. Yet many believers won't accept that, not because it's hard to understand, but because they know would restrict their sexual freedom to divorce and remarry as they wish. Many churches accept people in their second or third marriage. According to this passage, they're in adulterous marriages. The churches just say it's okay. It's not because this verse is unclear or hard to understand, but it's similar to what Julian Huxley said. If we accept what this verse clearly says, it will inhibit our sexual freedom. It's not because the Bible is hard to understand. That's not why there's so many different interpretations of the Bible. Travis from Montana, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yeah, I'm kind of glad that came up, what you were just talking about, because it goes right into my question. It'll help you clarify, actually. My question is there in, I believe it's in Timothy and also stated maybe Titus, it says that elders and pastors of churches should be husbands of one wife. And I know there's some different thoughts on that as to whether that is referring to men involved in polygamy, and that they are not to be elders, or if that is referring to men who have been married and maybe they were divorced because their wife committed adultery and then remarried, and whether that prohibits men from being elder or teacher in the church.
Well, I'm looking at, you mentioned Titus. In Titus chapter 1, verse 6, it is indeed given the qualifications for elders, verse 5, or you could call them bishops, verse 7. It says, if any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. And so the requirement is that the husband, that the elder be the husband of one wife, present tense. First of all, that means to be an elder, a man has to be married and currently married to a woman. And yes, it would rule out an elder, a man from being an elder, if he had two or more wives. Of course, to be a faithful Christian, you can't have two or more wives. But that doesn't mitigate against this teaching, because most of the qualifications for an elder, a Christian should have those qualifications also. But an elder must be the husband of one wife. That means not zero, not two or more. If his wife died and then he remarried, he would be qualified again, because he would still be the husband of one wife. If he divorced his wife scripturally for fornication, according to Matthew 19:9, and remarried, he then would be the husband of one wife again, and he could be qualified to be an elder. It's not saying the same thing as 1 Timothy 5, verse 9, was talking about a widow, whether or not they can be taken into the number. It says, they must having been the wife of one man. So they couldn't be married to a husband and then later be married to another husband, say, through death, because it says having been the wife of one man. One throughout her lifetime. Titus 1:6 though says the husband of one wife currently, presently. Travis, do you have any follow-up with that? We only have one more minute before the program goes off the air.
No, I had one quick question. What version of the Bible do you use?
Most of the time I use the King James Version of the Bible, but there are other accurate translations like the New King James Version, the American Standard Version, the English Standard Version. I'm using the King James, Travis.
Gotcha. Thank you so much. Appreciate the program. God bless.
Appreciate your call, Travis. And we appreciate everybody listening every week to this program, Bible Crossfire. If you want to contact me through the week to talk about the Bible, or if you would like a free Bible correspondence course that comes through the mail, send me an email at BibleCrossfire@email.com. That's BibleCrossfire@email.com for a free Bible correspondence course done through the mail, or if you want to just talk to me over email about the Bible. We appreciate you listening this morning and encourage you to listen next week at
this
same time.
Listening.